No one knows Indiana basketball like Bob Hamill, a longtime sports editor in Bloomington, Indiana. Longtime Big Ten expert, too. Two peas in a pod, Bob Hamill and Lauren Tate sat down to talk about the Hoosiers, about Bob Knight's health, about who's the next commissioner of the Big Ten. In the latest podcast, Tate Lines Unedited. Quite a conversation. We'll be back after this. Hey, Jim Rosso, News Gazette Media Vice President, reminding you that we have a ton of podcasts available at newsgazette.com every day of the week. From Dave Gentry's Morning Show to Scott Beatty's News Hour to Brian Barnhart's Penny for Your Thoughts. Head to our website, newsgazette.com, and search for podcasts.
Hello again, everybody. This is Lauren Tate. I've got one of my favorite people on, Bob Hamill from Indiana, who went to Indiana University the same time I came to the University of Illinois, when you were a writer for the Bloomington paper and I became a writer for the Champaign paper. 1966, Bob. You remember those days?
That's been a while. Was it Teddy Roosevelt, or who was the president?
I know one thing. We rode Rick Mount into the Big Ten. I remember that. The last games I saw were Rick Mount playing high school basketball in Indiana.
That right? Yeah. Yeah, he was I think he's still the best shooter I've ever seen.
Well, he was awfully good. If he'd had a 3-point shot, he'd have made a couple more points, I think.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Bob, before we get into the Delaney business, bring us up to date on Bob Knight. We've heard from people like Jerry Lucas, and we've heard from Fisher over there, the announcer, that Bob is not completely well right now. What's his status as far
as that? I think organically and everything, he's fine. He's been probably as good as he's been for a while. His weight's in good shape, but he's having some memory loss, as I am, and I bet you are.
That's for sure. Who is this again?
but he's 78 and showing it some, but I don't think in the classic health considerations. I don't think there's any thing I know of.
Nothing pressing at this time, huh?
No, not that I'm aware of, no.
Well, I heard he was going to be doing some signing some signatures, I believe, in Chicago coming up. Do you know anything about that?
No, I don't, although he does a lot of that. So yeah. That's possible, yeah.
Okay, back to Jim Delaney. He brought you in, and you were able to write an article about him when he announced his retirement, or his pending retirement. He's 71 now. Tell us what you learned from him during your sit down.
Well, I what I was wanting to do with it was draw as complete a picture as I could of the Big Ten as it was when he came in, and the Big Ten he's leaving behind, because it's so drastically different than the obviously, not all that was his effect, but some was. And probably the biggest, the change with the most powerful effect would have to be the Big Ten Network. And that was pretty much entirely Jim's vision.
Yeah, I guess he decided to take that jump when he felt that ESPN was basically what we call it, lowballing him a little bit back in the early 2000s,
yeah,
and he just felt like he could do better.
He had some experience in that neighborhood himself when he was a commissioner of the Ohio Valley Conference. You know, it's way back there in the early days of ESPN, but they had this network, they had all this time, but they really didn't have any program. They were bringing in Australian rules football and all kinds of things that nobody watched.
Sure.
So he came up with the idea of actually live Saturday night basketball starting at 11 o'clock and 11 p.m. and it went over big in the Ohio Valley, and all of a sudden they were getting national attention because there's nothing else on it, and they know that's 8 o'clock in the
Yeah, that's
in the West, so they had some pretty good viewing, but the experience is what Jim brought with him when he came to the Big Ten, and then when they ran into some contract difficulties with ESPN, and uh, know, how those things are. Obviously, they were highballing, and ESPN thought they really had no place else to go, so they were lowballing it.
Did you think it would work, Bob? Did you think that the Big Ten Network would work when you first saw it?
Well, you're probably asking the wrong guy. I don't know how any of today's devices work, but I could see. Because of ESPN, I could see it. Yes, I think prior to ESPN, I wouldn't have thought that was a.
Well, the thing it really did was it brought all the other sports into play. You know, and you're seeing the women a lot more in the volleyball, the women's basketball. I mean, all these other sports. It wasn't just basketball.
That was Jim's argument with the presidents when he was trying to at least discussing the subject of going it alone with the. You know, you're complaining about not getting enough women's sports on or beer commercials, that kind of thing. He said, "Well, you can if you have your own network, you can do whatever you want to do."
That's right,
and that's pretty much what they've done. What I see from Bloomington, and I'm sure you see from Champaign, is what a great equalizer it was in money, because the income now is when Indiana was trying to keep up with Ohio State and Michigan on football revenue, they're buried. But this is an even split, and it's a big even split, and consequently, a lot of the financial pressures of expanding to cover women's sports, covering new facilities. It was kind of just money dropped out of the sky for these Big Ten schools, and particularly at Indiana.
Well, Bob Hamill, I've always got to explain when we start talking like this that the Big Ten Network is just a part of the broadcast team, and the Big Ten, I think, is bringing in about, I'm guessing, around $10 million of the $52 million that Illinois received this year and Indiana received for fiscal 2018. We're talking about ABC, ESPN, Fox, CBS, and the Big Ten Network. And now when you got them all working together, that's a lot of money. 52.
Well, it sure is. That's you know, they were splitting about $2 million a year on the bowl revenue, the things they had before they got into. As you say, it isn't only the Big Ten Network, but that was a key to opening this this vault of money. Because now they have a competing wedge that they have to bid over what they would get if they ran it on the Big Ten Network to get. It's really financial things that are beyond my ken, but all I know is those numbers are huge, and there are a lot of buildings here on the IU campus that wouldn't be there without the Big Ten Network.
Bob, when he's charged, so-called, with protecting the Rose Bowl, of course, and was slow, they say, to get to lean toward the playoff. Now, how do you feel he is now? Would he be in favor of going from four teams to eight, do you think, now?
Yes, he is definitely. In fact, I probably I should have gotten that into the thing somewhere. He's very much for expanding to eight.
Well, I suppose that's because the Big Ten's been cut out a few years.
He's pretty much admits that, and other leagues are in the same situation. So he's pretty sure that there'll be support by that. I get the impression he's almost certain that that's going to come pretty quickly.
Yeah. Do you have any other areas where you've seen him change his attitude over time? Anything specific?
Well, it was interesting talking to him about the expansion, because that started right with his, through no complicity of his, but it was coincident with the time when he took over as commissioner. Penn State came into the league and shattered all the concepts that we had of a very tightly interwoven league that had stood geographically pretty solid for so our lifetime, and that's a long time, Laura.
Yeah, that's right.
but and then once they started extending out, then other things came into play. For example, now they have 11. That's an awkward number, but so they needed a 12th to justify going to a playoff game, which is lucrative in football, and that brought in Nebraska. And I think the network itself was probably the key to going way out east into Rutgers and then Maryland and bringing in big city markets that suddenly were open to them.
Let me switch you over to basketball, because I see something that never gets mentioned, but coaches, if they had their way, would schedule as many games they could win at home as they possibly could. Now we've gone to a 20-game Big Ten schedule. We've got the Big Ten playing the ACC and the Gavitt games. So that's 22 games there that are pretty tough. And I just wonder, I mean, I don't think that the coaches would have done this on their own. Was this pushed from the standpoint of the commissioner's office and the athletic directors?
I think the presidents. You know, the presidents have a very active role in this, and I think the people selling the tickets realize that it's a whole lot easier to sell a conference game than it is in one of those gimme games.
You bet.
I'm not at all convinced that they needed 20 conference games, to be honest about it. I think 18 was a good working figure, but I would have preferred to have seen a little bit more demand on as apparently is done with the new rating systems in the NCAA, that it's just to your great disadvantage to schedule low-ranked teams. And as long as that's a goading incentive to make your schedule better, I think I would have preferred that, but they didn't really ask me about my preferences there. But I think 20 league games is an awful lot.
Well,
and the other aspect of it is, I'm a really big guy for perspectives, and it distorts all the records. Now a 20 game record season is not the same as 18.
That's for sure.
So there are going to be all kinds of things that we've had enough of that, with bouncing back and forth with 14 and then 12 at one time. What Mount did, for example, in a 14 game league schedule is obviously not going to compete with somebody's going to do in a 20-game schedule as far as actual raw numbers. And that makes it more difficult for me to compare a Cassie Russell with today, that kind of distortion of meaning of records.
Bob, you got any hints about who you think might succeed, or the type of person that might succeed? Does the Mark Silverman have a shot at this? Does Jimmy Phillips have a shot at this? What do you think?
Well, I think I suspect they're going to go toward the business side, able to handle and then negotiate the big contracts, because that's where they are, and that would probably mean a lawyer like Delaney, or perhaps even a CEO, someone of that nature. Enough of those people are out there with really strong sports backgrounds that would justify their inclusion in the candidates. I really don't have an ape candidate at all. I don't know what they will be looking for, but I think those you mentioned, and then probably a lot of others, have definite chances.
Well, I just wonder, do you have any idea about any conference commissioner right now who might be looking to move? I mean, some of the guys on the Power Five are getting a little long in the tooth, like us.
Yeah, they are. Well, they're going to have to really hurry to catch us. But as you have observed over the years, what those presidents do is their own concept, and I'm really not capable of gauging where they're headed, but I'm sure that's going to be somebody that can handle big money.
Yeah, I'm sure that's right. Well, Bob, I don't have anything more to bring up on this subject. I just do you see this happening well in advance? I mean, do you think that maybe Delaney will stick around and help the next guy along? Because this is a complicated business he's in.
I suspect they'd like to have a little bit of an overlap, but I think the way he phrased it was he would not renew his contract. He would be out at the end of the contract. But if they came up with somebody sooner, he'd be happy to turn it over. So it's kind of open-ended in that sense, but with a definite conclusion in June of 2020.
Okay, Bob Hamill. How many times did you win the Sports Writer of the Year in the state of Indiana, Bob? Tell me the truth. Come on.
My memory is really faded.
Come on, come on. More than 10. More. How many? Come on.
I know I lost it a lot more than I won it.
You're just, great writer, Bob. I appreciate knowing you, and I appreciate you talking to me. Thank you very much.
We've had a long time friendship, so you take care.
All right, Bob Hamill. Thank you.